This is called the squirrel sermon, okay? And not because I'm that decent a speaker, but because I really think the Holy Spirit's going to say something and do something here this morning, okay? And I think a lot of us are going to be referring back to, you remember the squirrel sermon you preached in June, okay? And I'm really confident in that. And I've seen a number of amazing confirmations of that I'm going to get to a little bit later on, but I want to pray, okay? So we're going to pray first. Father, God, thank you. Thank you. And God, you know how pumped and excited I am to share this morning, Lord. But God, my five loaves and two fishes are not going to cut it, Lord. So God, we give, Lord God, Lord, this time right now. Lord, we need more than just a message from a hyped up pastor, God. Lord, we need to hear from you, and your words can transform our lives. God, you can alter the course of history in our lives this morning, God. Your spirit can do that, and I'm asking that you would. Would you do that, Lord? As crazy as this message might end up, Lord God, it doesn't matter. If your anointing is here and your power is here, God, things are never going to be the same, and I know that's your will. So will you have your will here this morning? People have made a lot of fun of me over the years, because I'm hyper, and, I've even had ridicule, okay? But we have a good time with it here, because we have quite a few people in this church family that are ADHD, and it's great. Those of us that have ADHD, we consider it a gift. And, so Chantel, found this shirt, and she got one for John, one for me, because we have a good laugh about it. And, today, and you know, one of my favorite scriptures is, I will boast about my weaknesses, so the cross will not be emptied of its power. Okay? And, I'm gonna have some fun boasting about my weaknesses. And one of the ways I wanna do it is to tell you a story, a musical story. And, you may have heard this tune before. And I've got the lyrics up here. You gotta follow along with the lyrics, because we're gonna play it right now, and you follow along. Okay? Go ahead, Jean. Jean, we can't put that on a podcast because of copyright stuff. So I'll just put a note on there that, you know, go watch it on YouTube, because there's a whole video that goes with that thing. And, now that's not a true story, okay? But it could be. It could be, okay? And I know enough about the word, and I don't know how else to use the term revival, okay? Revival is used to describe a lot of things. In fact, I want to go to dictionary.com, okay? Let's go there and see what it says here. Oh yeah, I had to put that at the end there. I forgot to. Got my timing wrong, okay? Bailey, you missed the best part of the message. See what happens when you're late. I'm telling you. Anyway, okay, so. Okay, revival, dictionary.com. Restoration to life, consciousness, vigor, strength. Okay? Two, restoration to use, acceptance, or currency, that revival of old customs. Three, a new production of an old play. Four, a showing of an old motion picture. Five, an awakening in a church or community of interest in the care for matters related to personal religion. Six, an evangelistic service or a series of services for a purpose of effecting a religious awakening to hold a revival. Seven, the act of reviving. Eight, the state of being revived. Nine, the reestablishment of legal force and effect. I really like that last one. Okay? The reestablishment of legal force and effect. There's no greater authority than God. Okay? He is the authority. We pray for his will to be done, for his kingdom to come. So if the church becomes what the church is supposed to be, if we really are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are following Christ the way the Bible says we should, what happens is a reestablishment of legal force and effect. God's kingdom starts doing its stuff in our midst. That's the best one. When God starts having his will in an individual, in a church, in a neighborhood, in a city, in a country. That's why when we were over at the DeFrancos and we saw what happened during that baptismal service, I'm telling you right now, that's the seeds of what we would term revival. Okay? Something's happening there. That's not just a fun backyard party. It was powerful. You've heard me talk about historic revivals. And everybody's got a different definition of revival. And I want to be sensitive to that. I'm not one of these guys who says, well, that's not revival and this is revival. It's a broad term. But I do like talking about what happened in Rochester, New York in 1830. That's Rochester and before Kodak, Eastman moved in and employed half the city with, photographic film, and the flower industry was very big. That was the main employer there, and they provided flour for the Great Lakes and everything. And Charles Finney went in there and started preaching, and he preached from about November 1830 to March 1831. And the entire town of about 25 to 30,000 at that time, the entire town made a profession of Jesus Christ. There were 100,000 converts. They were driving from all over, from Syracuse, from Buffalo, from all over the state. And remember, this is horse and buggy, okay, and train. He used the Erie Canal, you know, to go around and preaching. And everybody wanted to know what was going on in Rochester. On the scale of what happened in Rochester, you can't imagine it because there's no internet, there's no transportation network. It was an explosion of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that people still talk about. And there are dozens and dozens of churches that are still in operation in Rochester that started at that revival in 1830 under Finney. Okay? Now, it comes, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you can't put it in a box, and it's human nature to do that. I mean, there's so many books that have been written on revivals. In fact, Finney, and some people criticize him for this, his seminal work was something called Revival Lectures, and he's taken a lot of criticism because he kind of laid out, this is how you do it. And there have been so many different types of moves like this and experiences throughout church history that you can't really say it happens in a certain way because there's so many crazy circumstances involved. And I know it's not a true story, but it could even happen with a squirrel getting loose in a church, okay? God uses crazy circumstances to do his will if there are people that really, you know, love God. And some people are, you know, get together and they start letting God do his way. I'm reminded of this scripture. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. And this is, I think you could call this the same old scripture when it comes to doing church and being church. Okay? Same old is not changing our country. Same old is what most churches are operating on. Same old will kill us here if we ever slip into it. Okay? And we seek God and we believe that it's not going to happen. We want God, but human nature always wants God on our terms. Lord, do anything and everything you want. I'm sure most people in this room have prayed that. What we don't pray, but what we're thinking is, God, do anything and everything you want. Just don't get weird on me. And I don't want to work so hard, you know? Like, when we first started praying in my basement, you guys didn't know it. I've told some of you that I was praying, God, I don't want to start a church. Please, I don't want to start a church. God, I don't want to start a church. Why? Because I know how much hard work it is. And I'm by nature very lazy. And I saw, if this happens, oh my goodness. Because not only do I know how to do it, I know the guys who do it and they work their tails off. And I'm going, God, please, is there another way? Okay. So God, have anything and everything you want, but you know, don't embarrass me. And I'm busy too. So make sure it fits into my schedule. B-U-S-Y. We're all so busy. B-U-S-Y. Somebody said that stands for busy under Satan's yoke. Ooh, that's kind of tough, eh? God, move like this. You see, have you seen these? Like, they got like coloring books for adults now. Have you seen this? Costco, you should see them all. They got like everything. Coloring books for adults. My, we've advanced as a culture, you know? What do you want for Father's Day? I want a coloring book. You know, Mick. Okay? And you know what they're like. A coloring book is blank, and we bring our coloring book to God. Here, color it for me, and stay in the lines. You got to stay in the lines, because that's the way, you know, I've got this all together here, and I've worked at this whole Christian life. Now come and pour your life into me, and stay in the lines. And God responds, that's not even the picture I had in mind. Okay? And that's human nature, and we have to recognize that we're all, given our default position, we are always going to want God to fit into our little world, okay? That's all of us, and that's what the Holy Spirit's trying to deliver us from. That's what Jesus, when we say we want him as Lord, he doesn't fit well into boxes, okay? In fact, I don't think he's even really Lord if you think you can kind of like treat him like a kite and hold him while he's flying up there, you know, and making sure that he doesn't get any higher because you just got only so much strength, you know. For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. But God chose the foolish things of the world. You know, this is one of these scriptures I flog. I know you've heard it before. To shame the wise, God chose the weak things of the world. To shame the strong, God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Another one. For now we only see a reflection as in a mirror. Have your way, God. Here's my terms. Sundays, okay, 10:30 to noon, I'll be there. And only if I'm feeling really, really spiritual and I've had a good week and my schedule permits and I'm, you know, I might show up on Thursday night for prayer meeting. And I might be able to fit in something if it's really special. But you have to let me know at least 2 weeks in advance, you know, because like, you know, I'm busy, God. Remember when you first fell in love, how quickly your schedule freed up? Remember? Where did all this time come from? It was like you could, it didn't matter. I mean, you found that time you were going to be with your significant other. When God starts having his way, it usually gets messy. There's unexpected things. Oh, we didn't plan for this. Well, I don't know. What do you think the epistles are? The epistles. They're guidebooks, the epistles, 1 Corinthians, Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, Thessalonians, those are the epistles. They are guidebooks for correcting abuses in revivals. Do you hear that? All these churches were experiencing explosive growth, and there was really messy, a lot of bad things happened. So Paul, Peter, and John, they wrote most of the epistles. They realized, man, we better send some letters here because these people, they love God and they're passionate and they're full of zeal. But man, they're going off the rails big time. Okay? Corinth, they had rebellion. They had division. They had greed. They had gluttony. They had immorality. Galatia, oh man, all legalism. Full of legalism. Ephesus, they had the occult. They had prayerlessness. They had pride. Philippians. Now, that was a healthy church, but it was horribly persecuted. And they were under it. And there was jealousy amongst each other as well. Some of them think, you know, like, well, you're not serving God because you haven't endured any persecution like the rest of us. And there was factions in Philippians like that. Thessalonians, they were lazy. They were negative. They were complacent. They were tired of persecution. And there was a threat that the church was going to close down because they had just put up with so much. They just, man, do we even have to show up anymore? And so all of these epistles were written to encourage and correct the abuses of what was going on during these incredible revivals. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. I've been quoting this scripture a lot. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful verse. God tests us. God tests us to see how hungry we are for him or what he can give. And I'm convinced that he'll even bring stress into our life to kind of, you know what a conflict does? Conflict stirs up what is down on the inside and brings it to the surface. Any good counselor will tell you that when a couple or somebody is facing, you know, stress, they're going out of their mind and they put up with something, you know, it brings things to the surface. So, and the positive thing is those things can't be dealt with unless they do come to the surface. And God will do that in our lives. If there's bitterness, if there's jealousy, if there's pride, okay, if you follow him, I'm telling you right now, the easy lessons in following Jesus are the ones where you learn on your knees, okay? Where you just are plain obedient, okay? And you do what he tells you to do. He is going to have his way in your life, whether you like it or not. If you are going to follow him, he is going to have his way. And he will bring things to the surface so that they can be dealt with. So that they won't continue hurting you. So they won't continue alienating you. So they won't continue making life even darker. He's trying to deal with things all the time, okay? Because he has our character in mind. He's trying to perfect Christ-likeness in our life. Jeremiah 30:21, for who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? He's in love with us. And he wants that relationship. I'm going to give you an example of a very disturbing story in the New Testament where Jesus really pushes somebody to the limit here. And it's kind of scary, but it's the word of God. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to a region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came up to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter's demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away. She keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Can you believe that? This is their suffering Savior. This is a compassionate, you know, "I'm the good shepherd." Okay. The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she replied. He replied, look at this. Is it not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs? Jesus said that. "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. There's about 20 different difficulties in here. There's all sorts of things in here that make you go, "Whoa, I don't know if I can handle that." Look at the words of Christ. I preach Jesus. I believe the gospel. I believe he's my Savior. But even as somebody who has Christ as Lord, to me, this is embarrassing. And I've studied the cultural context of it, and personally, it's still not good enough for me. And some people can get dissuaded and get really upset that Jesus doesn't fit into their little box of how he should be here. Okay? And he never will. The bottom line here, and the thing you can't get distracted from, this lady's daughter was demon-possessed and messed up. Okay? And Jesus healed her. She walked away healed. You know why? One of the reasons was she was not intimidated by the stuff that some of us even sitting here are uncomfortable with. Okay? There were bigger issues involved than her figuring it all out. Okay? She knew her daughter needed God. And she did not have Jesus in a nice little box. Okay? And Jesus ends up saying, "You got great faith, lady." What's great faith? Great faith in this instance is she's not bogged down by the stuff that doesn't fit in her little box and she trusts God anyway. Okay? That's great faith. You got problems with that? Ask God for help. All of us have problems with that. We need to ask God for help. God, arrange my priorities. God, forgive me. Because I'll tell you, everybody who puts God in a box never knows they're putting God in a box. Ever. Oh, that's not me. Everybody. The people who put God in the box, the worst. They don't know it whatsoever. The Holy Spirit has to reveal it. Okay? And they have to come to the realization, he's bigger than my perceptions of him. You know the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and no food. And, you know, they know the situation and it's getting late and they're going to have problems in their hands if people start leaving and they haven't been fed because it's long journeys. Jesus, we need food. He's already got the food and that. And what does he do? Doesn't do the miracle yet. This would drive some of you crazy, okay? Have them sit down in groups of 50. What? Have them sit down in groups of 50. The truth is, okay, if they didn't have them sit down in groups of 50, no miracle. You don't sit down, no food. That's the truth of it. Everybody's expecting him to do something. Oh, he's going to do something. We heard he can do almost anything, okay? I guess they obeyed because, okay, he's capable of doing it. Let's just got to play along here. No sit, no miracle. Gets them to sit. And you know what happened there. It's almost like God was pushing them. Do you have faith to believe me to do this? Well, that doesn't make sense. What are you even doing that for? Okay? Do what I tell you to do. The lepers in Luke 17. Jesus says to them, they want to be healed. This is what he says. He does not heal them. Okay? He says, go to the priests and show yourselves. What? Go to the priests? You're supposed to heal us. You're supposed to pray for us. You know, wave your hand, do that thing, or even spit in our face with mud or whatever, you know? No, go to your priest and show yourself. What? Why would we do that? More embarrassment? As soon as they see us coming, they're going to start yelling, unclean, unclean. We're not going to do that. They'll ridicule us. They'll see us coming, they'll run. That's how we respond when Jesus says, no, this, no, this, no, that. And these guys trusted God enough, okay, we got nothing to lose, let's do it. And the Bible says they were healed on the way. They were healed on the way. Those guys would have had every reason to say, this guy's nuts. I'm not going to do this. I've had enough ridicule. We're on the outs of society. And those Pharisees, they're a bunch of arrogant twits. There's no way we're going to show ourselves to them. But they started walking and they were healed on the way. Peter, if it's you, Lord, bid me come to you. Step out of the boat. I think I'm pretty Peter-like. I would have said, oh, now come on, you got to give me more than that. That's all he gave him. Here goes. Steps out of the boat. Paul and Silas. They had no idea there was going to be an earthquake. They've just had the crap beat out of them. What do they start doing? They start doing something that if you had God in a box, you wouldn't do. They start singing. They start praising the Lord. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord... That's an old song, you guys don't even know that, okay? And the Bible says it was an earthquake. And the chains fell free. And the guys that were guarding them, oh, we're dead, they're going to kill us. Oh, no, don't kill yourself, nobody's taking off here. I mean, they push it even further. I mean, if God has an earthquake and, you know, the chains break off, what do? You get out of there right away, right? Because that's the way you would... No! Their love for people that don't know Jesus is even greater. They're not even leaving the jail. Relax. Just us. We're okay. That woman, I just got to touch him. She is weak. She's been bleeding with a bad condition for 12 years. She's poor. She's got nothing left. Breaking through that crowd to touch him. Man, boy, if you had God in a box, you wouldn't go through the trouble. You know, I got nothing to lose. Here I go. Okay. She's healed. And one of the obvious ones is Naaman. Naaman is the guy in the Old Testament that shows up at Elisha's door. And, you know, because he heard that he can be healed and he's got leprosy. And Elisha doesn't even come to the door. The servant comes to the door. Where's Elisha? And this guy's a king. He's a ruler, okay? He's self-entitled, okay? I mean, he's got an image of how things are supposed to go. And Elisha doesn't even come to the door. Servant comes to the door and says, go bathe in the Jordan 7 times. And he gets ticked. What, bathe in the dirty old Jordan? You don't think I got a good enough river down where I'm from that I could have been healed that way? Okay, fine, you know, he's not coming to the door. And his servant gets to him and says, hey, listen, you got nothing to lose, you know, do it. Had God in a box. God only does this. I was like, I've got figured it out. God figured out. You know you don't, okay? So Naaman gets in the water and he starts bathing and he's healed. How is God testing you? How is he challenging you? I know how he's challenging us as a family. There's times I'm getting less frustrated over things because, man, God keeps coming through like crazy. Like this morning we showed up. Oh, it's so good. Christine and I went to the Catholic board, you know, and we got the keys and we got our pass and, oh, this is going to be so good. Got the kitchenette and everything. Come in, you know. Not one of our keys opens any of the doors. None of them. Okay? And as soon as we come in, the alarm gets set off. I mean, they're totally disconnected. You have no idea, do you? Okay, here we are, having church, loving God, hearing the word, singing, you know, kids are well taken care of, okay? Why was I stressed? Because I got God in a box. He's supposed to, you know, fit into my nice little, thing. The very thing that you are unwilling to surrender, that's probably holding up his will from happening. Okay? Let me read that again. The very thing that you are unwilling to surrender, maybe it's your perception of God. Maybe, no, the box is still, he's got to do it this way. The very thing you are unwilling to surrender, that's probably the thing that's holding up his will from happening. But he's God. Yep. And he can be quenched. I don't get that. I don't understand that. I'm not going to pretend to understand that. Okay? But he can be quenched. And he says, don't quench me. Belief when there's no evidence he's coming through. Faithfulness in the midst of persecution, heartbreak, and pain. Fasting. You crazy? Fasting? Going without food? Boy, that's something people don't do in this culture. Outrageous generosity when the checkbook says you can't afford it. Let me tell you what revival is, not putting God in a box. I've been at Ottawa Inner City Ministries, the drop-in, about 8, 9 Tuesdays in a row now. There's a girl there, I'm going to call her Michelle. She'd be upset if she knew I was sharing this story, okay? And I'm going to guard my story so I'm not... So if she was sitting here, she'd say, okay. And she didn't know I'm going to do this. If she knew, she'd probably be mad at me, but I'm changing her name. And I've gotten to know Michelle, and she's... boy, she's a great lady. She's just humble. She doesn't take crap from anybody. She's one of the volunteers, you know, does everything, serves people, and you are not going to push her around, okay? And really intelligent. And Tuesday, we got yakking. And we got talking about our families. And she said, yeah, you met my husband. Oh yeah, that's right. Okay. Cause her husband took training at OIM when I took training. And then 2 weeks later, and I knew this was for a purpose, it's kind of coming clear now. I met him at the McEwen gas station down by my house, and he said, John, I said, I know you. What's your name? He says, from, OIM. Yeah. You're one's husband, you know, great. Good to see you. Blah, 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 blah. It's nice. Okay. And we get talking about our families. And I said, so what does your husband do? She said, I don't want to tell you. Ah, come on, what does your husband do? She told me what he did. Okay? He's the CEO of an organization that if I mentioned it in the city, everybody would know him. Everybody would know him. Heather, relax. It's okay. I'm not going to... Okay? She's going, no. Okay? If I mentioned where he works, if I mentioned what he did, everybody here would know. Okay? And recently, God has called them to sell their multi-million-dollar mansion, move into a mobile home while they're building a retreat center for drug addicts, for the homeless in a certain community. Okay? And both of them are called of God that she's going to run the ministry and he's going to fund the whole operation through his salary that he makes. Okay? You don't just decide to do that. Okay? And she didn't have all the answers. She doesn't know how it's going to happen, but God's been showing them what to do one step at a time. He keeps opening up doors. You can't come to your husband and say, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do that, because God says. That would be putting God in a box. No, God has already spoken to him. And he's spoken to her. And I'm listening, and man, the fire of God in this woman's life. She could care less about wealth or whatever. I mean, she's got a passion for people that are just messed up. And I love hanging around people like that. I really do. Because you can feel that anointing. Your schedule being dramatically altered so you can respond to God's call in your life. That's him breaking the box. Obedience in little things. Israel was looking for a Messiah. They had it all figured out. They knew the scriptures. Oh, they were so smart. They knew God so well that when he really showed up, they totally missed him. Because they had him in a box and he's supposed to come this way. But when he came this way, which is even more supported by scripture, that can't be him. And they ended up being, listen, when you've got God in a box and you refuse to let him out of that box, you can end up being God's greatest enemy. You can, because he's not fitting into your nice little box, and he will never fit into that box. They even fought him why did the Pharisees and the experts in the law fight him? Because he didn't meet their expectations. Gotta be this way, gotta be that way. No, it's this way. When Jesus did come, angels had to calm people down. Hey, stop freaking out. Calm down. You know, that's what fear not is all about. Hey, chill. Come on. Okay? When he did come, he scares people. He messes things up. He upsets schedules. Okay? In the Old Testament, when he showed up, the priest couldn't even minister. They're smitten. And they're into ritual. You know, I got to do it this way. God shows up and there's no more ritual anymore. They're just all over their face. In the fiery furnace. Hey, there's another guy in there. That really messed up Nebuchadnezzar and the whole plan. Elijah, you know, earthquake, mighty wind, crushing rock, fire from heaven. And God speaks in a whisper. Wasn't supposed to happen like that. Isaiah, I'll volunteer. He's excited, you know, when God shows up and makes himself clear. What's Isaiah's first reaction? I'm undone. I can't even stand. I'm an man of unclean lips and you know, you don't want me. Paul fell off his donkey. Some people have to be knocked off their donkey, their high horse. Daniel and Ezekiel fell on their faces before God. Jesus said, unless you change and become like a little child, you're not going to see what I have in store for you. Kids don't put, you know, they have expectations, and that sets them up for great, you know, heartache. They learn that life isn't what they think it's going to be, and they learn how to adjust and they mature, okay? Jeremiah 33, I love this verse. You and I, we don't know it all. And listen, you and I do not know it all, and any semblance of that is going to quench the Holy Spirit in our life. It is, okay? I love Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I'll answer. And I'll tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. We want the Holy Spirit here. We want His way. I have to confess, I would like the Holy Spirit to fall in a nice little convenient package that I made. That would make so easy. But a lot of you I've had good conversations with. I've had all my expectations and I've had all my measuring sticks. I've had God slap me out so that nothing makes sense anymore. Except, I gotta follow Jesus. How do you follow Jesus? I don't know, but I know I can't do it the way I used to. Okay? And you guys have helped me with that too. My goodness, I've had more direction of how to follow Jesus from this church family than any church family I've ever had. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, I told some of you that I had to alter my message today because of my prayer walk. My prayer walks are just, what God told me last week, he hasn't given me the liberty to, I think it was God. I guess I'm still testing it. And if it's God, I'm not wanting to say anything because I don't want to quench this. But what I think he said to me yesterday, I'm going to share with you. I had already got this message finished with the PowerPoint and everything. It was all done by, I think, Thursday or Wednesday. So I'm going into the prayer walk, and a little bit different this Saturday morning, yesterday. I'm kind of going, God, I don't know what to pray for. I got to hear from you. Show me things. Show me, speak to me. You've always got something fresh, okay? And I'm thinking, God, that's a goofy message. I'm going to talk about squirrels. And they already think I'm off the charts ADHD already, okay? You know, you gotta help me here. But I wasn't praying that much about it. I just, there was a sense of, I'm walking around, I got nothing to say to him. I don't even know what to pray. I need to hear from him. I wanna hear from him. How's he gonna speak? I don't know, okay? And I'm walking around, and I walk across that real nice park that's got the gazebo on top on Coburg Street here. Walked around there, and there's all sorts of dogs playing. And there's a real dark area where, it's dark, and it looks like kind of ominous. And there was a mom with her two kids ahead, and I thought, I'm not going to walk by her, because if it's a dark path and she sees this big guy with long hair, she's going to get scared. So I deviated, went right into the light. I didn't want to scare the lady. So I walk, and I'm praying and trying to hear from God, I get a bench that's facing Coburg Street on the edge of the park, okay? I'm sitting there. That's just after, where's Rick and Ruby? Right after I talked to you guys, okay, because I met you guys there. Right after I saw you, I kept walking towards Coburg, and I sat down, just talking. There's a squirrel there. Now, you're laughing. Hold on now. And I'm preaching on revival, and I'm using squirrels as an illustration. And I've never seen a squirrel like this in my life before. Maybe you have. This was the most unique looking squirrel. And I can honestly say, okay, if this was God, God showed me something in that park that I had never seen before. I didn't even know existed. Didn't even know it worked this way. And because of technology, I can show you a picture of this squirrel. You'll know what I mean. Have you ever seen a squirrel, a black squirrel with orange pants? You can't see it too well in the light here. He's fully black and he's orange. You ever seen a squirrel like that? You have, okay? I'd never seen anything like that in my life. I mean, it's like they took two squirrels, a red one and a black one, and stuck it together. Okay? I'm looking at this thing, and I can't believe what I'm seeing. I've never seen a squirrel like that. You know? And what? Well, you've been in the park more than me. Okay? And I'd never seen this. And I'm watching this. I'm thinking, what are the chances that on the day before I'm preaching on squirrels like I've never preached before and about revival, that God shows me the most unique, incredible squirrel I've ever seen. I've never seen a squirrel like that. And I was trying to get his attention. You know what you do when you try to get... He's looking at me, get out of here. You don't need to care. So I got the picture anyway. And I'm just sitting there and I don't know if this is God. I'm just telling my thought process. It could be God. Okay. I'm really getting nervous when people say this is God, you know, cause they want to substantiate their stupid imagination and you know, that it's God. I don't know whether it is, but really, you know, and I'm thinking, I feel like God might be saying to me, Council, that squirrel is Christchurch. Kind of squirrely. But there's nothing in the world like it. Council, that squirrel is you. And you're looking at that thing and you're thinking that's the coolest thing in the world. And John, you've taken abuse and people have made fun of you because you're off the rails and off the charts and you do stupid things. John, I made you exactly the way I wanted to make you. Okay? And I keep watching the squirrel and just listening to these thoughts. I'm kind of smiling, you know. Squirrel takes off. And I told you there was dogs there, about five or six. Three dogs go after that squirrel, okay? And before they even get close to him, I'm thinking, they're not going to catch that squirrel. There's no way. And that squirrel ran more than half the length of the park, and he's out running those dogs, and there's no way. Hits a tree, up the tree. And just before he went up the tree, about a half hour earlier, as I'm circling the park, I'm looking at all these majestic trees. I think, man, only God could make a tree like that. I mean, look at that tree. That is. And I said to you, remember, Rick, when we were on the Coburg Street and the big tree that chopped down, I said, man, that must have been quite a tree when they chopped it down. Cause it's like, bigger than this, okay? And I'm looking at these magnificent trees and I watched that thing, you know, that squirrel bolt away. There's no way the devil could catch him. There's no way that harm could catch him. And where did he go? He went into a place that is so majestic and so beautiful that only God could have prepared for him, okay? And I'm watching this and I'm thinking, that's us, okay? The very thing that you get ridiculed for, the very thing that people think, what is wrong with you? That's the way the Lord made you, okay? And if we're to know revival as a church, and this is the most exciting thing about Christ Church, things are happening here and things that I don't know how to create them. I don't know where this is going, but I like it. And I see God doing all these amazing things. How could you plan for the spectacular baptismal service we had last night? You guys just did your best. I put the food out there. Let's see what happens. And it was, you can't, there's no way you can produce what that, how only the Holy Spirit could do that. It's amazing. Okay. I'm getting addicted to that. I'm getting addicted to this excitement, like where God does things, but boy, I'll tell you, there seems to be a correlation with John Council not getting his way and God getting his way. And I think it's like that in all of our lives. Well, how am I restricting God? You know what? He'll show you. You may not like the way he shows you. You may go through pain. In fact, you can't get away from how suffering changes people and turns them into men and women of God, okay? If you are going through pain because you love God, if you are exercising faith because you love God, payday can take forever. And I would suggest you quit thinking about payday, okay? Quit thinking about it. If you ever get to the place where all you care about is knowing God and serving God, okay? I think that might be an answer for somebody, okay? And I'm not going to talk anymore because if I do, I think it's going to be just the flesh and we don't need the wisdom of John Council here. So I'm going to pray, okay? Let's pray. Father, Lord, please take this now and make it grow. God, I know that if this is true and if this is of God, the devil is already trying to pervert, Lord, your word. The devil is already trying to pervert, Lord, our perceptions of how you work and how you don't work. Jesus, I want to thank you today that I don't know how you work all the time. In fact, I don't know how you work most of the time. But Lord, you're smarter than anybody in the room, and you can't be confined to my perceptions or expectations. And Lord, you have revealed to me your kindness and your goodness. And Lord, I'm asking you to do that with my brothers and sisters here this morning. Lord, I pray right now, and those of you that love God with all your heart, would you agree with me right now as well? Lord, take your word and make it grow in our lives. Take your word and conquer lies in our lives. Take your word, God, and deliver and heal and restore. Nobody looking around, okay? Nobody looking around. I'm not going to hold you hostage. I'm not going to go long on this, okay? If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never accepted Him as Lord and Savior. If you have already, you need to affirm that in your life that, yeah, I've done that, and thank you, Jesus. But if you've never received Him as Lord and Savior, and you want to today, I want to pray for you before you leave. I'm not going to center you out, not going to embarrass you. But you'd say this morning, yeah, John, I've been part of church for years, or maybe, you know, you're just visiting today. I've never received Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to do that. It all starts with that. It all starts with that. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand real quick and put it back down, okay? Up and down real quick. And I want you to know that on most Sunday mornings, I'm going to ask that question. And to me, it's worth asking 75 Sundays in a row. And if I never get a hand raised, it's worth the one on that 75th Sunday. Okay? That's how powerful our salvation is, how wonderful it is. It's wonderful. Nobody's raised their hand. That's okay. That means I'm in a room filled with people who are right with God. Now, God, they're right with you. Take them the rest of the way. Take them the rest of the way, Lord God. Teach us by your Spirit. You promised, Lord, that you would send the Holy Spirit, the teacher, that would lead us. You said he would lead us into all truth. I'm asking you to do that now. Do what I can't do, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.